You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
And I'm here in the studio with Miles O'Brien, who is in for the vacationing Celeste Headlee here on this holiday. Good morning, Miles.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Two numbers for you. Mm-hmm. 12,000 and 100,000. 12,000, that's the number of U.S. troops that are expected to be on the ground by the end of the day in Port-au-Prince and in Haiti to deal with the relief effort. But 100,000 is the expected death toll, and it's probably going to rise even above that.
It's difficult to get your hands around the magnitude of this one.
Yeah, well, Nick Davis joins us from the BBC, our partner, who have a whole team on the ground in Haiti and have had that team on the ground through the weekend. Nick, first of all, is there a likelihood that 12,000 U.S. troops is going to increase the visibility of the relief effort? What do you think?
I'd say so. I mean, at the moment, I'm not sure if you can hear it on air, but there's a helicopter, a U.S. military helicopter, hovering not far away. It's a visible presence like that, which will, in many cases, make the security of the teams operating here, not only military but civilian, a whole lot easier.
And, you know, we were actually in some discussions earlier on in the program about this notion that we've heard in media reports that security is likely to deteriorate, might deteriorate as the pace of the relief effort seems to be so slow so far. What are you getting? Because we're also hearing from Haitians who say, no, it's going to be fine. Haitians are good at working these things out.
Very much so. I have to say that so far my experience has been that the Haitians have been a most resilient people in terms of what they're dealing with. Maybe because of the fact that they've gone through this sort of scenario, not an earthquake of this magnitude, not a death toll of this magnitude either, and it is huge, as you said, 100,000, up to 100,000 expected to be dead. But people are somehow finding a way to cope. While the aid isn't getting through, Haitians are doing it for themselves. They're actually just going out there and trying to survive the way they have done in the past. The international community hasn't actually, they've put in a lot, but even so, this country has always needed a lot of work to be done, and they just go out and try and survive the best they can.
Well, Nick Davis, BBC reporter, thanks so much. On the ground live there from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And really, that's the story this morning, that resilience, the sense of people taking matters into their own hand. The stories are grimly repetitive, yet each of them unforgettable. People who lost so much in the first shocks of last week's earthquake clinging to life as the relief effort moves forward at an agonizingly slow pace. I want you to listen for the sadness in our colleague, BBC reporter Mark Doyle's voice, as he comes upon a man here who is in Haiti for an already tragic reason and who has no idea how to put back the pieces of his life now.
My name is Wiss Mattis. I'm living in New York, so I'm here for the funeral of my mother. The funeral I was last Saturday, then the scene is happened on Tuesday. I lost my wife.
I'm sorry.
And I buried my wife yesterday, so I'm planning to go now. I don't have no passport, no nothing, you know, and I want to go.
If you want to tell me what happened in your house and...
At my house?
Yes.
Oh, well, I was at my house at the time, you know, the thing happened. Then I was right here, but outside there, when the thing happened, you know, when I hear the, boom, you know, just like a bulldozer, you know, and I run down there. And
your wife was inside the house?
Yeah, my wife and my cousin, I don't know, just about, I don't know, God, believe me, that's God. And... Well, after that, my wife passed away after 2 days.
So she was hit by the rubble that fell?
Yeah,
and
the top off.
She was very badly injured, and then she died subsequently?
She died right away. And
right away. Any medical attention here? Any doctors, any nurses?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. We don't have no aid, no nothing at all. No food, no water, no medical, no doctor, nothing at all. You are the first one who visit us, sir.
You were the first one to visit us. That's Mark Doyle visiting for the first time, a man waiting for help, telling his tragic story. The BBC has a whole team on the ground, each one with story after story of this kind of resilience of Haitians dealing with the aftermath of last week's earthquake. We take you now to a story from the BBC's Mike Thompson.
An elderly woman approaches me in a particularly poor and devastated suburb of Port-au-Prince. Her face contorted with a mixture of anger and pain.
I'm very hungry. We all in the same situation. Our home has been destroyed. We don't have anywhere to sleep. Don't you see where we're sleeping? We don't have any food to give the children. We wish they could help us. The smell of these dead bodies are killing us. I believe the germs of these dead bodies are going to make all of us sick.
This feeling of neglect is common here, despite pledges from countries around the world to come to Haiti's aid.
Hard to find water. We don't have electricity, and living is very hard.
Can you tell me what help you've had so far? Because there are quite a lot of soldiers here now. What help have they given you?
We didn't find help from them yet.
Have you had any help at all here?
No, right now, no. Right now, no.
Nothing.
We don't have nothing ourselves. Nothing.
We leave you with this final story from the BBC's Mike Thompson, a neighborhood finding itself in the rubble.
A man in his 30s, wearing a bright but dusty yellow shirt, leads me through a small, rubble-strewn alley, littered by fallen masonry and twisted metal cables. Suddenly, he stops.
Over there's some people who are trying to take some dead bodies from that house. They've been doing this some hours before we pass here.
How many people have you lost in the community here?
We cannot reckon, there's a lot. We don't know how much about people we've lost, because there's a lot of people under the houses that crashed down, you know.
Do you think any of the people still trapped might be alive?
I don't know if they're alive, because we was looking for some survivors, but we didn't hear none from them. All we find is dead bodies, and we take them out, so they might be sticking in a time, so they might be decomposing. So that's why we take them out, and we just put them out.
First, I see a small woman's shoe, and then what looks like a foot protrudes from under a cracked concrete slab. I listen, but can hear no signs of life from beneath the rubble.
I've seen so many people who pass away in front of my eyes, you know, so many dead people. And so right now, all we need is help. We need help. We're crying for help.
The BBC's Mike Thompson witnessing, as his colleagues and all of us are, the tragedy in Haiti.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.